Let us bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit lead and guide each one of us, whether we are at home or here, that we will understand your word. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. After all that Jesus has said and done up to this point in the Gospel of John, the Jews are still asking him as to who he is. So we are told of this in verse 24, that they gathered around him and asked him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Today, there are still many people asking this question of Jesus, even though they have the benefit of hindsight. Now, this question by the Jews at this particular point in time is a dangerous one. Why? Because this is the time of the Feast of Dedication, sometimes known as the Festival of Lights, or Hanukkah, as it is celebrated today. This feast is not one of the feasts of the Lord in the Law of Moses. It is a politically instituted feast to celebrate the recapture and rededication of the temple by a so-called Messiah of Israel, Judas Maccabeus, in 164 BC. So any talk of a Christ or a Messiah during this time would only raise controversies and trouble. Now, has Jesus not revealed himself as the Christ after all this time? Well, in verse 25, Jesus says, "He has, I told you." But when did he tell them? Well, in the Gospel of John, the last time, not too long ago from this event, he has said that he's the good shepherd. He has said that he's the door of the sheep. And before that, he has said that he is the light of the world. Now, all these are not just nice sounding titles. They are titles that point to Christ. Take the title of the Good Shepherd. If they have read Ezekiel chapter 34, they would have known that God is the shepherd of Israel and that he has promised that he will put Israel under one shepherd, his servant David, the promised Christ, the Messiah. So Jesus did tell the Jews who he is. But what happens? They did not believe. "I told you, and you do not believe." Now, why do people still do not believe when an answer is given to them? One simple reason could be that it is not the answer that they are looking for. So they filter it out. It goes through their mind, and it just does not register. Maybe this was what happened to the Jews. They wanted a political Messiah, one who could deliver them and give them peace and power and prosperity. Could this be also the reason why many people today still do not believe in Jesus? Because they are not getting who they want, what they want. For many, Santa Claus is more believable than Jesus Christ. Do you not know that many people do not use Santa Claus as a swear word as much as they use the word Jesus Christ? Now, beside what Jesus has said, there are also his works that would point people to his identity. So Jesus says in verse 25, "The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me." They point to who I am. Now, what are some of these works that bear witness to who he is? Well, in the Gospel of John, there are at least six major miracles up to this point. The first one is the turning of water into wine, the healing of the official's son in Capernaum from a distance, the healing of an invalid who was for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on water, and very recently, the healing of a man who was born blind. All these are astounding and indisputable miracles, and they certainly bear witness to his identity. Unfortunately, many people still miss the message. Maybe it was a bit too abstract. Maybe it involves too much thinking for them. Maybe it's not what they are looking for. They wanted it plainer. Now, how plain can you get? Today, many people are still wanting to know who Jesus is. Even though we have the testimony of Scripture, we have the testimony of people to the words and the works of Jesus, especially his work on the cross, his death, his resurrection. But people still miss the message. They want a Christ that can make them prosperous, powerful, healthy, and happy, and can leave them alone to get on with their life. So they don't get the answer, even though it is right in front of them. Friends, is the answer right in front of you? Now, while it's true that people do not get the answer because it's not the answer they want, Jesus goes deeper to reveal why people do not get the answer, why they do not understand what he's saying and doing. So in verse 26 to 27, Jesus says to the Jews, "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Let's pause for a moment to consider what Jesus is saying here. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. In other words, if you are my sheep, you would believe. The logic here is very simple. It hinges on whether you are his sheep or whether you are not his sheep. If you are his sheep, you will believe. If you are not his sheep, you would not believe. And how do you know you are his sheep? The way you know you are his sheep is by faith, is your belief. This is the sign. This is the evidence. This is the assurance that you are his sheep. This is faith, your belief, your hearing of his words, your following of him. Now, out of this come a very important question then. How do I become his sheep that I may believe? Well, the answer is, it is to believe. Since belief is the sign, belief should also be the start. You start by believing. You continue by believing. Put aside the answers you want to hear, the Christ you have created in your own mind. Come to the Christ who has revealed himself to you in the Scriptures. When your heart and mind is open like this, faith will arise, because faith comes from the hearing of God's word. By faith, this mysterious work of God in you will come about. And this was what Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious teacher who was seeking out the Messiah, in John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. By God's working in you, you become born again. You become his sheep. And how do you know you are born again? How do you know you are his sheep? You know by the presence of faith. You believe, you hear the word, you follow. So Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You will know, people around you will know, and Jesus suddenly knows who are his. Now, as you become his sheep, Jesus says he will give you eternal life, and he will keep you to eternal life. This is what Jesus says in verse 28. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Wow! He gives us eternal life. By the way, who is he that can do this? And he keeps us to eternal life. Who is he that can do this? Now we'll get to this very shortly. But let us consider for a moment what he says. He gives us eternal life. What is this eternal life? Is this something you should be jumping up and down about? Yes, it should be, because it brings you joy and peace and satisfaction and hope and strength and even a smile in a time of difficulty. Jesus has, in various places in the Gospel of John, gives us a sense of it. And I'm just going to look at this from the Gospel of John. Firstly, it is eternal. And the person giving it must be eternal to give eternal life. Eternal means everlasting, never ceasing. It is this age and for the age to come. It is now and tomorrow and forever and ever. You have it today. You have it tomorrow. So don't forget that eternal life begins today. Secondly, it is life. And the person who is giving it must be life and the very source of life. And this life is abundant life. Jesus says this in John 10:10, I come that you may have life and life abundantly. It is a fruitful life, a significant life, a meaningful life, a purposeful life, an adventurous life, a victorious life, a holy life, a life that is sin opposing, and a life that is a victorious life. It does not mean there will be no difficulties, no sicknesses, no deaths, but we will come through them. We will be raised. We will not perish. We will not come into judgment. There will be no more wrath of God. It is a life with God in His love and peace and joy. So that's why we can jump up and down because of this eternal life. Now, note what Jesus says concerning eternal life in John chapter 17, verse 3. He sums it up in this way. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life, in a nutshell, is knowing, relating, and fellowshipping with God and Him. It is the greatest experience you will ever have, which grows and grows more and more, deeper and deeper, sweeter and sweeter from now to eternity. And Jesus not only gives you this eternal life, He says He will keep it to eternal life. He will keep it for you. So in verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. It's not just Jesus alone. In verse 29, Jesus goes on to say, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You are doubly safe, and this should give you confidence. Wow, what a gift! But who can give such a gift? And who is Jesus who thinks He can give eternal life and keep one to eternal life? Think about this at the moment. Well, Jesus did reveal He is the Christ, but surely to give eternal life and to keep one to eternal life, He must be more. Indeed, He is more. Because in verse 30, He goes on to reveal one of the most astounding revelation of Himself. I and the Father are one. The reason why Jesus can give eternal life and the reason why no one can snatch us out of His hand is because He and the Father are one. This is a bombshell revelation. You know it is a bombshell revelation by the way the Jews responded to it. In verse 31, we are told the Jews pick up stones again to stone Him. Now, when was the last time they pick up stones to stone Him? Well, in chapter 8, verse 59, Jesus says this to the Jew, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they pick up stones to throw at Him. In chapter 8, they thought He was claiming to be God. And now in chapter 10, they also thought that He was claiming to be God. They were right. But yet at the same time, they were wrong. They were right in that He was indeed claiming to be God, together with what He has been saying. But they were wrong in understanding how He is God. Because Jesus says, I and the Father are one. He does not mean that He and the Father are one person. That is, He is the Father and the Father is Him. The Greek word used in verse 30 does not allow for this. He is simply saying that he and the Father are one in purpose, one in power, in keeping us safe, one in provision, in providing eternal life. But he is also saying something more, and the Jews knew that. Who can give eternal life? Who can keep eternal life? Only God can, isn't it? And yet Jesus says he can. So he must be claiming to be God. And he is. He is claiming to be God. But he is not claiming to be the Father. He is claiming to be the Son of God. And he is not blaspheming by saying that, because Jesus goes on to explain in verse 34, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If they call them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'?" Jesus is actually quoting Psalm 82 here. Basically, Jesus is pointing out that if God can call those whom he gave his word so that it can be proclaimed to the world as gods, how much more the very word that was set apart and sent into the world? And he is that word who was in the beginning with God and was God, the word who became flesh and dwell among men, such that they can see his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So don't be too quick to dismiss him and stone him. He is not blaspheming. His words and works show it. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So he tells the Jews, "If I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Now, while Jesus is not the Father and the Father is not him, yet the Father is in him and he is in the Father. They are not one person, yet they are a complete unity. They are one. It is simple, yet it is profound. In this morning's reading in the New Testament, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, this: "One God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist." One God, the Father, one Lord Jesus Christ. They are mutually indwelling. They are one. Now, is Jesus with the Father, one with the Father, important to us? Is it relevant to us? I would say absolutely. If Jesus is not one with the Father, then the eternal life he gives us is empty talk. It's just like anyone claiming to give us life today. Can they? Can a doctor give us life? Can a scientist give us life? Can a prophet give us life? No, only God can. Only Jesus, who is one with the Father, can. The eternal life that Jesus gives is for real, and for he is the one, he is one with the Father. He is the Son of God. Secondly, if he is not one with the Father, then his keeping of us to eternal life is empty talk, just like anyone claiming they can guarantee to us the moon. Can politicians guarantee us eternal life? Can kings and presidents guarantee us eternal life? No, only God can, and only Jesus, who is one with the Father, can. So when Jesus says, "No one can snatch you out of his hand," he meant it, and it is real. He can do it, because only God can do that. Friends, do you believe in Jesus? Are you among his sheep? If you are not, do not despair. Open your hearts and minds. Get rid of all your idols and gods that you have created for yourself and all the preconceived idea of a savior. Come to the Messiah. Come to the Savior that the Word of God has revealed to you. And you will have faith when you listen to the Word of God. And by that faith, you will know you belong to Him. And you will have eternal life. Church, as you are among His sheep, keep on believing. Grow in understanding that Jesus is not just a mere Christ, but He is the Christ and also the Son of God, one with the Father. Bow in worship. Regard Him no longer in the flesh. Regard Him as Lord and God, and with great joy and assurance and boldness, live out and proclaim the eternal life He gave you over every situation, over every one that you come across. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Rejoice because He's the Christ. Rejoice because He's with the Father, the Son of God. Let us bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Thank You that it is not our conception of our own Savior, but it is the Savior, Your Son, that comes to us from You. So Lord, we pray that those who seek You as they read Your Word, may faith arise in their heart. May they be born again and come to You. And for those of us who know You, may we hear Your voice constantly, believe in You, and continue to live out this eternal life You have given to each and every one of us, especially in this time of COVID-19. Give us Your strength and give us Your hope in this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.